From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. A very few select celebrities can go anywhere in the world and be instantly recognized by only their first name, and certainly Dolly Parton is one of those people. With more chart-topping hits than one can count, Parton is a true icon in several genres of music. Today on the show, the leader of the Eugene Symphony drops by to talk about their latest homage to Miss Parton, a symphonic rendition of her famous songs, but also to talk about some amazing links between Dolly and Eugene. In fact, when she first came to town more than 50 years ago, she was ill and almost canceled her show, but the love that she felt from the fans inspired her not just to go on stage, but to write a song about Eugene decades later. That's next on Oregon on the Record. The Eugene Symphony is always looking for ways to expand its offerings, and next month they'll perform an ode to one of America's most beloved stars, Dolly Parton. We talk with the symphony's leader now. Dave Moss, Executive Director of the Eugene Symphony, always great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's talk about this upcoming performance, Dolly Parton's Threads, My Songs and Symphony. Tell us about this performance.
Well, why Dolly Parton? Why the Eugene Symphony?
Yeah.
You know, I think those are two things that might not immediately connect. But when you look at it more closely, I think it comes together in a way that only things do here in Eugene, Oregon. So first of all, for those who don't know the history of Dolly Parton, she made a little tour stop here back in 1972.
Wow.
I found the Register Guard article, the review from Dolly Parton's show. Down home music brings Eugene fans to their feet. Dolly Parton was touring with Porter Wagoneer, one of the household names of country music in the 70s. And the announcer from the stage in the article, it said, "Country music is alive and well in Springfield, Eugene area." And something very special happened that night. There was 1,500 people in attendance. This was at the Agricultural Building at the Lane County Fairgrounds. And Dolly Parton didn't want to come out on stage. Hmm. She had been homesick for Tennessee. She had been physically ill. My understanding is skipped a couple of evenings of performances. But decided that, she has a quote that she sat in the back of the tour bus crying during the first part of the show.
Wow.
And managed to come out on stage. And after, Coat of Many Colors, I believe it was, she received her first standing ovation as a musician in little old Eugene, Oregon.
Wow. Wow. Of course, 1,500 people back then. Now you'd have to double the size of Autzen Stadium if Dolly Parton were to come.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Well, and that, you know, the connection to Autzen Stadium, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, not the first song, but I believe it's the second song after the Ducks play at Autzen, a little song called Eugene, Oregon is played. By none other than Dolly Parton. And following that performance, she was so moved by the way the community here accepted her that she wrote a song called Eugene, Oregon. But it wasn't released in 1972. It was released not until 2009. You figure that's 35 years later, yeah. More than 35 years later. And she was a massive star at that point. She didn't need to release a song about Eugene, Oregon, but all of those years later had that connection to the place. And, I'll read the first, bit of the song here. Eugene, Oregon, I'll remember you the rest of my life. I won't forget how good you were to me. No, I won't be forgetting all the kindness that you show to a homesick country girl a long, long way from Tennessee.
Wow. That's amazing. I got chills as you were reading that. That's amazing. Talk about the music itself and the symphony, because, you know, to sort of a layperson like myself, Dolly Parton was a pop and country icon and so many hits. I mean, it's legendary that I think she wrote, "I Will Always Love You" and "Jolene" in like 30 minutes,
yeah.
And two iconic songs. But how do you translate that to a symphonic rendition?
Well, this show was produced and is produced by Dolly Parton. She no longer tours anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And she put this show together, debuted with the Nashville Symphony in March of last year, and has been all over the country. And it was that connection to Dolly here in Eugene that caused us to say at the Eugene Symphony, this is perfect programming for us.
Yeah.
This week, they announced, I believe it's 6 full weeks of performances in Nashville of this show, because they've sold out so many times in Nashville.
Wow.
This music, there are 2 young singers that will be covering all of Dolly's charts, one by the name of Blair Lamb, and the other by the name of Caitlin Dry. And Caitlin Dry, she's one of the big success stories of The Voice, I believe it's called. She was Team Blake, Blake Shelton, of course, that is, for those who follow that. And we have these incredible symphonic charts that have been done by David Hamilton that take all of Dolly Parton's music and all of the colors of the symphony orchestra, all of the different instruments, 70-plus musicians on stage, and take all of that color and dynamic of Dolly's music and set it for a symphony orchestra. Then you have these young artists singing the lyrics in a way that Dolly Parton would. She's mentored these young artists for these performances. And this is not going to be, one of those symphony shows where you sit on your hands throughout the entire show. We have plenty of those.
Yeah.
This is going to be, if you're a Dolly Parton fan or curious about Dolly Parton or curious about Eugene and that connection, in between each of the songs, Dolly on the big screen tells the story of her life, tells the story of these songs, the story of Jolene. And it's that narrative storytelling that Dolly is known for that's going to come across.
It's interesting as I'm listening to you talk. Gosh, when I was a kid, I mean, Dolly Parton was all over the radio, both in popular music as well as country. And these are standards. These are so well known. To translate them into a symphonic, rendition along with lyrics, I imagine, the original kind of the performers are like, this is revered. I realize, look, of course, when you're playing something by Handel or Mozart, that's revered, of course. But, nobody knew those guys who's still alive. Right. But, Dolly translates she crosses generations. Wonder what it's like. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to some of the performers about doing this kind of show.
Well, I think the main performer that I've been talking to about this is Alex Pryor, our music director. He's in our first season as a music director. We have some Handel coming up on a performance here on April 23rd. The way that Alex talks about Mahler and Bruckner and Beethoven and Dvorak is the same way he talks about Dolly Parton. And this is someone, his last post was up in Edmonton, and he fell in love with country music while he was in Edmonton. And this is something we rarely get a music director who goes, I want to conduct the pop show. I want to conduct. But for Dolly Parton, Alex artistically is excited about this as I think he is about Handel coming up or Schumann coming up. So it's really the musicians are excited. And I think, your point of we can't hear Handel talk about water music, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hear him talk about, how the Messiah came together. But Dolly Parton will literally be on the screen talking about how these pieces came together.
You have performers and then you have this video screen, which I think, obviously newer generations kind of look at that as kind of, something they expect in terms of entertainment. And that's neat that you've been able to kind of combine that.
It needs to be an immersive experience. I think, well, we know that our attention span has gotten smaller and smaller.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have this immersive experience with the screen, with the artists, there'll be some great lobby activities. And one of the lobby activities that I'm really excited about is a partnership that came together through this. Dolly Parton and her efforts to help literacy in this country throughout the world through her Imagination Library. We are very fortunate to have some great partners here in Eugene with the Eugene Library Foundation, with United Way in the broader Lane County area, and then with the statewide efforts with the Imagination Library. They'll be at the show. We'll be talking about not just Dolly's music, but the work she's doing with the Imagination Library, because this is such an incredible Dolly's work and her legacy is far beyond just her music. It's the impact that she wants to leave this world.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's one of the reasons why, obviously, The bulk of her success came decades ago, but she has such staying power, and some of that, I think, resonates with people because she's such a giving person.
And I think that that is becoming more rare in our society, mm-hmm. that I think artists feel the need to maybe stay inside their political box, mm-hmm. or stay, you know, just stay inside of what they do, because our world is so polarizing. Mm-hmm. And Dolly, I think, has never shied away from that. And she is who she is, and is not apologetic for it, and knows that the work that she's done will have a lasting impact well beyond her career.
Many might say refreshing.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me reintroduce you to the audience. We're talking with Dave Moss, the executive director of the Eugene Symphony, talking about the upcoming symphony on May 1st at the Holt Center celebrating Dolly Parton. You know, let's talk also about kind of upcoming shows for this season for the Eugene Symphony. Very exciting, a lot going on. Talk about some of the things that you're looking forward to.
Well, we're in a very busy few weeks here with the Eugene Symphony. Our season typically runs from September through May, so we have just about another month left in our season. Upcoming on April 23rd, Thursday evening, Alex is conducting a wonderful program called Majestic Horizons. It features Handel's Water Music as reimagined by Alex Pryor. And it's going to be a very fun camp, as he would say, rendition of the water music. We have a trumpet concerto by Abom being performed by our principal trumpet player, Bryce Schmidt. Bryce, local boy, grew up in Salem and now lives in L.A., but won a position as principal trumpet with the Eugene Symphony a couple years ago and flies back to play with us every month. And so he'll be our soloist for that. And the program concludes with the Schumann Third Symphony, his very last symphony. Really great, exciting program. If you love the Messiah, you'll love this type of performance, and it's going to be great. And then, of course, we have our annual homage to Star Wars on May 3rd. Not to be confused, we'll call it May 4th Eve, because it is on May 3rd. It's a Sunday matinee, which allows a lot more families to come out, which we are very keen to have for Star Wars. This is something that always sells out for us. We are doing Return of the Jedi this year. And if you've not been to one of these, it's the full symphony orchestra on stage with the film playing, and the music is perfectly synced. All of the action's there. I'm not doing Darth Vader. Darth Vader is doing Darth Vader. But if you're a Star Wars fan, this is a great tradition. We have some cosplay characters in the lobby for photos and all of that. It's a really great, great event that we're looking forward to. And then our season wraps up in May with Nielsen's Inextinguishable Symphony, which is a wonderful work for orchestra. And inextinguishable, I think, is how we describe our music director, Alex Pryor, and a great way to close his first full season with us. And it also features the Grieg Piano Concerto, which is kind of one of those evergreen hits that audiences love. Yeah. And we'll close out our 2025-2026 season with that.
Inside baseball question. Mm-hmm. How do you and your team, how do you decide or how do you determine which shows you want to bring to Eugene?
That's a great question. And I think it's something that is shifting as the market shifts here locally. We're fortunate to be a resident company of the Holt Center. And the Holt Center is putting on some great programming through their Broadway series and their Holt Presents. And so some of our more broad, you know, what I'd say pops and blockbuster type shows, we kind of program off of what's coming at the Holt Center.
Okay.
So we'll have some more of those shows next season. We just announced our 2026-2027 season. Full season subscriptions are available. And, you know, it's a complex process of the artistic aspirations of an incredible music director in Alex Pryor, the financial realities of an orchestra that's, you know, $3.5 million here in this wonderful community. And how do we do incredible artistic things, but meet the realistic demands of our budget size. And the big piece of that as well is how we market our shows and understanding the market that we serve. And we've got a great team Our director of marketing, Jen Bell, is just one of the absolute best. And so it's a real conversation between many departments that come up with a season. And there's some passion in there. I'm a Dolly Parton fan. So, you know, I'll say that I'm more of a Dolly Parton fan than I am a Star Wars fan. So you see a little bit of that come out in the programming. But I think next season is a great example of Alex really learning what this community wants out of a season. It is just an incredible lineup, and I will say that in the first 3 weeks of season subscriptions being on sale, we have not seen subscription renewals and acquisitions quite as strong as they are this year.
Well, that's exciting, and it kind of, Dave, it leads to my last question, which is, I know organizations, many organizations, are always looking at how to attract a younger audience. Talk about how you do that.
Shows like Dolly Parton and Star Wars, and you know, we have 5 family concerts next season. Those kind of opportunities to bring in younger patrons once or twice a year so that, you know, when the kids are out of the house and they can commit to a symphony subscription, that's sort of how we view kind of audience development for the symphony and making sure that, you know, we're a point of accessibility for the community when it comes to music. So
good enough. He's Dave Moss, the executive director of the Eugene Symphony. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me. Great to be here.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at KOCC.org. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get an update on the replacement for Cahoots and the Eugene Airport. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.